100th Psalm. We'll just read it again. It is our text, really, this evening. I am delighted to be here with you once again in your meeting here in London. It's a privilege and a joy for me to be here, and I count it a privilege to share fellowship with you, and we look to God to bless us and to bless his word. Our brother mentioned a personal blessing received even by the study of the psalm, and that's certainly been my case, and that not just the case this year, but that has been year by year. I've come along here to deal with the subjects. Never have I known not to be blessed as we have studied God's word. It's a privilege to have the word of God. Having the word of God is the greatest privilege that the human race possesses tonight. Few recognise that, few see that. And it's a privilege to study God's word. Our brother sent me some tapes of the previous meetings because I only realised just a very short time ago that they were off the immediate times just prior to this one. And our heart has been encouraged as we have heard God's word even expounded in the last meetings that took place here. But we look to God to bless us tonight as we come around his truth this evening, that the Lord will touch our hearts and minister to us and presence himself with us here in this meeting this evening. Psalm numbered 100, the 100th Psalm, verse 1, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing. Know ye, the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Amen. And may God bless again this reading from his own infallible word to our hearts for Christ's name's sake. Let's just seek the Lord in prayer now, seeking his blessing upon the study of his word this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank thee. We thank thee for the privilege of being in thy house, being with thy people, being assembled here in this place. We thank thee that this door is open to us of gathering freely, unhindered, to read the scriptures. That was not always the privilege of thy people in this land, in this great city. Once thy word lay buried under the superstition and traditions of men, closed out from public hearing. But Lord, through a great battle, through a great sacrifice, thou hast brought thy own word into our possession. Lord, may we ever treasure it, and may we daily study it. And Lord, may we have that word implanted into our hearts, that we might live it out in its fullness and in its blessing. Be with us here tonight and unlock the book of God. Lord, human intellect isn't able to unlock the great secrets and blessings and the nourishment of this word. How many an intellectual man has sat down with this book and been perplexed. But Lord Jesus, we thank thee tonight that thou dost hold the key in thy hand. Thou art the author of this book. And we pray tonight for the assistance and blessing of thy Holy Spirit. That thou will come and bless these particular words that are before us this evening to our souls in Jesus' name. And make this to be a blessed time for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen. Out of the great body of Psalms that the Holy Spirit has been pleased to pass on to the church of, to his church, there's no psalm better known than this beloved 100th psalm. There's no part of scripture that the saint of God is immediately attracted to than the book of Psalms. There we can immediately identify with what the writer is saying to us. But out of that great body of Psalms, there's no psalm better known and better loved than the 100th psalm. Can anyone possibly put a figure upon the number of times that this psalm has been sung in the assembly of the Lord's people? Or can anyone tell tonight the wonderful circumstances in which God's people have found themselves here upon earth, where they have sung these words? The metrical version: all people that on earth do dwell, sing to the Lord with cheerful voice. What circumstances, what scenes in the history of the church have been graced? How many times, even in the open air, these words have been sung by the saints of God in times of great persecution? Or the story that surrounds this psalm throughout the history of the church will only be unfolded in God's great eternity. But having said all of that, it has to be admitted nonetheless that here in this psalm there is a message that I fear is missed by so many who count these words dear and precious. There's a message here at the heart of the psalm. There's something here at the very soul, could we say tonight, of this psalm that is overlooked, of course, to our cost. What do you mean by that, you see? Well, many apply these words solely to the here and now and to the experience of the church in this scene of time, and fail to grasp that there is a much wider scope to these words. In fact, the words of this psalm transport us, they lift us and take us to an altogether more wonderful scene than that which the church presently finds herself in. For this psalm, I believe, in its fullness, brings us to that time when the King shall reign when Christ shall reign personally in Jerusalem. Have you ever thought about that? As you have read these words, ponder them carefully. Take them verse by verse and let them sink down into your heart. And I believe this truth will grip your soul. I think you will be helped to understand what I'm here saying by paying attention here to where the psalm is placed. It comes here at the end of a section of Psalms that has been dealing with what? With the reign of Messiah. The previous Psalms have already been spoken upon, and your attention last month was drawn to those Psalms. And the thought in those Psalms is of Messiah reigning. Thus, what an appropriate conclusion we have here. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. In its fullest sense, I say, and in its deepest meaning, this psalm brings us to the days that we were reading about there in Isaiah chapter 2. Really, to put this psalm into its fullest, deepest setting, you have to go to the likes of Isaiah 52 and read what you're told there. Look at the verse 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the tops of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. These are the times. This is the circumstance where we have this psalm sung to its fullest extent and to its fullest meaning. If you turn over to the book of Jeremiah refers again to the same days. It's wonderful how these prophets, who were called of God to deal very forcefully with the sins of their times and bring before the children of Israel the punishment that was coming because of sin, how it is in these prophets that you find some of the most sweet prophecies regarding the future blessings of Israel. For while they were given messages of judgment, and while they were called to warn the people, and they exhorted the people to repent of their sins, while they dealt with all of these matters, they brought God's word regarding Israel's future. And if you look here in the chapter 3 of the book of Jeremiah and the verse 17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. You want to put the 100th psalm in its proper setting? You want to see it in its fullness, right out there to its full extent. Then you have to set it in that day when the Lord Jesus Christ shall reign with power. Another thing that will help us to put these words in their proper context and setting is to consider carefully the title given to this psalm. Our brother, in reading it a little earlier, mentioned the fact that this psalm is given the title, A Psalm of Praise. A Psalm of Praise. It's the only psalm to be given this title. The same word here that's in the title is found in the psalm itself at the verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, with praise. That's the same word. It's the same word. And you find it much earlier on in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus and the chapter 7. If you turn over there to Leviticus chapter 7, you'll find the same word used in that place. Leviticus chapter 7 verse 12. And here when men come to appear before the Lord, they come with praise, with thanksgiving. Verse 12 of Leviticus chapter 7. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then shall he offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. And when men were coming here to appear before the Lord, they came with what? With thanksgiving. So here in this psalm, on this great future day that we're thinking about, when Jesus Christ shall reign, when the veil shall be taken from the eyes of Israel and they shall behold their Lord, and when the nations all around, the Gentile nations, shall be called to come and to worship the Lord and shall come to worship the Lord, they're coming here with praise, with thanksgiving on their hearts, with the song of praise in their souls. Let us then move quickly along here tonight and consider some of the main things that this psalm is saying to us by way of application. First of all, I want you to see this. This psalm foresees a wonderful day. A wonderful day of blessing. A wonderful day of joy for the earth. For the whole earth. Oh yes, tonight there's a noise, a tumult, we might say, in the world. There's a noise tonight rising up to heaven from London and from all the great cities of the world. But you and I know, however, it's not the noise called for in this psalm. The world this evening has its song, but it's not the song of the Lord. It's not that which we're called to make here in this psalm. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Here our eyes are lifted forward to a day, as we have been saying, up ahead, wherein there will be a real scene of blessing unfolded in this world. And then I tell you, we shall hear this song of gladness, and what rejoicing there shall be. While here and now, it's the groan, as this old world this evening is burdened down with man's sin. Then, however, on that coming day, on that blessed day, what a song of rejoicing there will be. The people of God are weighed down in this world tonight. Weighed down with what? With the wickedness that they see going on around them. As we think of the Church of Jesus Christ today, we think of those words we read over there in 2 Peter chapter 2, speaking about an Old Testament saint. Speaking about an Old Testament saint that lived in a very sinful day. And he was not free from sin himself. Lot. But the inspired writer in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 8 records these words. And how fittingly they describe for us how the godly feel tonight in the midst of this ungodly age in which we live. For that the righteous man, verse 8 of 2 Peter 2, verse 8, for that righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. That's the day that you and I are living in. That's the day that the Lord himself told us would be the case. If you remember what the Lord said in Luke's Gospel chapter 17. Do you remember his words? Luke 17, we have referred you there to Peter's account of Lot. Well, the Lord Jesus refers to Lot as well, so much for the modernist as he mocks at the book of Genesis and at the accounts there. The inspired writers of the New Testament found no difficulty of going back to these Old Testament accounts and taking them accurately as faithful accounts. But the Lord speaks here in Luke chapter 17. And the verse 28, and he says this, likewise also, as it was, mark those words, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. What a commentary tonight on our day and generation. Living solely for the here and now. Living solely for the present. Is that not how it is? Is that not how it is for many? Many is a professor of Jesus Christ tonight. They're living solely for this scene of time. No thought about eternity. No thought about God's will for their lives. No thought about what God would have them to do. How much money can I make? How can I increase my earthly estate? As it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built it. Is that not what London's like tonight? But Verse 29. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And the saints today, as Lot of old, shed many a tear as they witness the triumphing of evil and sin and outright ungodliness. Oh, there's a breaking out, a breaking through the restraints. And unbelievable things are happening in the streets of our land. Our eyes have witnessed it. Our eyes have witnessed. But how different will things be that are pictured for us here in the 100th Psalm? How different. And what a blessing it is tonight. That yes, in the midst of this present evil, God has us already to sing this song that will be the rejoicing of his saints when they reign with Christ. This day that is here spoken of is not in doubt tonight. This day will arrive, and what a glorious day this will be. What a glorious experience this will be for the saints of God. Verse 1 here describes it as a joyful noise. Well, there's a noise, as we have said, a tumult in the world tonight. But it's a tumult that brings grief and pain to our hearts. But on this day, we will be able to make, as never before, a joyful noise, free from sin, free from the works of the wicked, free from the interference of the wicked one. Joyful noise. The Lord himself, in our midst, manifested, revealed, shining forth in all of his glory. Could we possibly describe this scene, this joyful noise, as the shout of triumph of God's own dear saints? Yes, the shout of victory in the camp. Does it not make us think of those scenes that unfolded around the walls of Jericho? Well, that's one place that my mind immediately turns to as I think of this joyful noise. Do you remember what happened there at Jericho in Joshua chapter 6? Turn up the passage with me, please. This is a shout of victory. This is a shout of gladness. This is a shout of joy. God himself is in the midst of his people. Joshua chapter 6. I'm thinking of the verse 5. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up, every man straight before him. Or the verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout, nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout.
Then shall ye shout. Here's the shout of victory. The king is in the midst. Verse 16. The Lord is with his people here. Verse 16. And it shall come to pass at the seventh time, when the priests blew with the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout! Shout! Make that joyful noise, that glad noise unto the Lord, for the Lord hath given you the city. The Lord hath given you the city. The Lord's with them here. He is with them here in this joyful noise. Verse 2 of our psalm, we meet with the word gladness. This is a tremendous scene. This is a blessed scene. There is the joyful noise. Now we meet with gladness and singing. There's a contrast here, is there not, with what you read in another psalm a little bit further on. Psalm 137. You'll immediately recognize the psalm. Psalm 137. Israel here are away from the Lord. Israel here in Psalm 137 have lost out with God, and they're in Babylonian captivity. But what a contrast! What a contrast indeed! Their harps are hung up, redundant. They have no song now to sing. When sin comes into the camp, when sin comes in amongst God's people, the singing goes. The joy, the gladness, the rejoicing is lost. They're now defeated. They're now defeated. There's gladness, there's singing here in Psalm 100. Verse 4, we have already mentioned the word. It's the word in the title of our psalm. Praise or thanksgiving. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is an uplifting scene. What a contrast that is to the present time. You know, as I read this word thankfulness here, or thanksgiving here, I immediately think of that verse in 2 Timothy. And the verse 3, or the chapter 3 and the verse 2, where Paul speaks about this very present age. And he says, therefore, men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What's one of the key characteristics of this age in which you and I are living? Unthankfulness. Unthankfulness to God. Unthankfulness to Christ. But I tell you, when Jesus Christ comes again, what thankfulness there will be. Is it not a wonderful thing that even in the darkness of this present hour, in this world, we can read the words of this psalm, we can sing the words of this psalm in anticipation of what is yet to come. In anticipation of the hour
when Christ will reveal himself in glory amongst his people. But then notice secondly with me here from the psalm, where this rejoicing is derived from. This psalm has place for the praise of one and for one only. The whole focus is upon the Lord. These are words of rejoicing in the Lord. He leads the worship, if you like. The Lord leads us here in worship. The Lord is leading his people here in worship. The Lord is leading his entire church in worship here in this place. The blessedness, the rejoicing of this scene is derived solely from the Lord. He is worshipped in every verse of the psalm. You meet very directly with the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. You can't miss this. Four out of the five verses here actually place the Lord's name in the verse. And the fourth verse where the Lord's name is missing, still the Lord is before us, because there in that verse you will meet with his gifts, his courts, his name. I think of those who came to this city a few weeks back to praise the Pope, whom some of us had the privilege of raising a voice of protest against. But even as I speak here tonight, I can see individuals that day, as the Pope Mobile approached, they were leaning out over the railings and they were shouting, and I have to add this in, they weren't shouting in an English accent. It was very distinct foreign English that they were speaking. But I can see one gentleman in particular, and he wasn't excessively old, neither was he even middle aged, but he was out over the railings and he was crying, "Ah, Papa, Papa, Papa." Clearly for him, the centre of his religion was not the Lord. It was not the Lord. How different it is here in the psalm. How different it is here in this day that we're thinking of in this psalm. All lands, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He is the center here. He is the source here of the rejoicing. This joyful noise is being made unto the Lord. Israel tonight, she's in the land, or many of the Jews are back in the land. Yes. But she is not the joy. She's not able to sing the psalm. Why, you ask? Well, here's the reason. She's without the Lord. She's without the Lord. She has many things. She has the land, but she's without the Lord. Without the Lord, you see, there's no joy. The Lord's the source. It is from Him, this rejoicing, and it's to Him this rejoicing goes forth, and this praise is raised to His name. But let's move on tonight, for our time is progressing. Only those who have entered into a new relationship with God, let me say. Only those who have entered into a new relationship with God will share in the joy of this day. That's made clear here in the psalm. Our attention is turned here to this, to these words. For example, verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with joy. Serve the Lord. Then think of the word in the verse 3, know ye the Lord. Here are people in a new relationship with God. Here are the very last two things that natural man wants to experience tonight. The whole idea of service. The whole idea of being a bond slave to the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, being a bond slave to anyone is repugnant to the natural man, but especially to be a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ is something not natural to the natural man. Serve the Lord. And know the Lord. Happy will man be, he thinks, if he's kept at a distance from God. Is that not how it was with our first parents? Once they fell into sin, we read that they hid themselves. They had no longer any delight in God's service. They did not want to be in His presence. To have anything to do with a holy God was repugnant to their thinking. Thus, you must see tonight that those who are joining in this great scene of rejoicing are those who have undergone an essential and a total transformation. They're in a new relationship with God. A dramatic transformation has overtaken them. In the verse 3 we read, know ye the Lord, He is God. That the Lord, that He is God. It is He that made us. It is He that made us. And not we ourselves. Here, we're not thinking of creation, but we're thinking of redemption. He hath made us, the psalmist says, He hath made us and not we ourselves. We are now His people. We belong to Him. Once we were sold under sin. Once we were the servants of the devil in our sin and in our blindness, but now we are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Well, this is speaking to us of a new relationship. A new relationship. The outcome of this work is here further described, as we have said, in the fact that those here spoken of are now described as his people and as the sheep of his pasture. Those who share in the joy and the rejoicing of the psalm, those who will have part in this great scene, are those who have undergone a mighty work, a mighty work of redemption, a work of God's grace whereby they are brought into an altogether new relationship with Jehovah. But then again, I think we need to see here in this psalm on this day, it is seen that with desire, the place of worship is sought out. With desire. Standing now in this new relationship with God, Jew and Gentile are now flowing, as Isaiah had pointed out, are now flowing to the house of God with this sole purpose, to worship the Lord, to offer this sacrifice of thanksgiving unto him. Men are here not coming to God as they see fit, with their own inventions and with their own innovations. No, they are glad to come to God, God's appointed way. They're happy to embrace what God's calling them to. They're happy to enter into God's ordinance. Here are people made willing in the day of God's power. Christ has arisen, and he is shining forth in all of his glory from Jerusalem. And here in this psalm, there's a flowing on to the Lord. Verse 4, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. They're willing. They're eager to be in the place where God and where Christ is. No advertisement campaigns are having to be entered into here. They're not having to be encouraged. What a scene. It's with joy and rejoicing. They're not going up here sluggishly. No. Turn to the prophecy of Micah. Prophecy of Micah, the chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, verse 1. But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the tops of the mountains. It shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. God confirming again this wonderful truth. God again bringing out and setting before us this wonderful truth that's contained here in the heart of the psalm. with desire on this day. Jerusalem will be sought out. She'll be sought out. The Lord will be worshipped with desire and with the heart here in this place. But lastly, see this. The blessings of this day that's foreseen in this psalm are perpetual. Look at the last verse. For the Lord is good. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. It's emphasized here. It's everlasting. It's perpetual. It's to all generations. Do these expressions not speak to us of a uniqueness that is here at the heart of this blessing? It's not like anything else that this world has ever seen. The blessedness that man and the pleasures that man enter in tonight in this great city, how fleeting they are, how temporary they are, how different here. How different here. The blessings that are possessed by the saints of God, by the people of God, they're everlasting. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endureth to all generations. What then God shows us here he will do in and with his ancient people is placed upon a very firm foundation, because it's placed here in verse 5 upon the goodness of the Lord. His goodness. For the Lord is good. His grace, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth. Here is the foundation of God's blessing to his people. Here is the very rock upon which the blessing of this psalm is placed tonight. Man is in the background. The Lord is to the fore. He made us. And not we ourselves. Isn't that a wonderful thought to conclude with tonight? It's what God will do in us. And it's what God will do for us. It's not in what we do for ourselves. He made us, and not we ourselves. What a blessed scene this evening unfolds for us in the psalm, this 100th psalm. The width of its scope far exceeds, in my judgment tonight, our estimation. It takes us into a day that is yet future. A day when Christ will appear in the midst of his people. To a day when Christ will shine forth in all of his glory. And when Israel and all the earth shall be brought around his footstool. A day this world has yet never seen. But a day that will come. I find here great encouragement for us tonight in these times in which we live. These days will come Make no mistake about it. God is watching over his word as he told Jeremiah, and he will fulfill it. Praise the Lord. And until that day comes, let us, as much as within us lies, set our gaze upon our Savior. May God bless his truth, for Christ's sake. Amen.